We had an event last night that was very, very special, a pregnancy counseling center that we've supported for many, many years. Had an appreciation dinner last night. Judy Hewart, who has led the ministry for the last 25 years, really kind of stepped aside, and we have a new director now, and she actually came to our Awana closing session and received the baskets that all the kids put together. But having to do with Pregnancy Counseling Center, I'd just like to give you this little quick update, a prayer request list that they sent out, kind of an update list that came in on Friday. This is what was said. Praise the Lord. Praise that three young women that are on our last email update seeking counseling for whether to adopt or keep her baby. Let me start over. Praise that the young woman that was on our last email update seeking counseling for whether to adopt or keep her baby has decided to keep her baby. She is due in the next couple of weeks. Continue to pray for a healthy delivery, family support, and open doors for her as she seeks to raise this baby. You guys, that's what PCS is all about. And it is so exciting. The next prayer request, praise that our weekly Bible study parenting support group welcomed three new ladies to it this past week. We are now meeting Tuesday from 2 to 4 on Praise God. And then it just asks for continued prayer. But I just wanted to say, you know, we have missionaries, probably 15 or 16 different missionaries that we pray for regularly, and we ask God to work through them. And last night when Judy was kind of stepping aside, she's still going to stay in the ministry, but she was kind of stepping aside, and I said, you know, how many girls over 25 years have found hope? How many babies' lives have been saved through all of these years of ministry? And I just kind of wanted to give you that that quick update. So I would like for you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, we have this incredible book. I have a lot of message, and I'm going to do it real short. And I will say, though, that I am so delighted that we are meeting together now in one service. And it is a blessing to me. You're a blessing to me. I think it's exciting to be able to be with one another, see one another. Are some of you, you don't know who some of the rest of the people are in the church today? Yeah? Good. That's good. So now we're together, so we can learn and know about each other. In Ephesians chapter 1, there's going to be a number of slides, buddy, and we're only going to use a few of them. And I'm going to look at the first verse of Ephesians, the third verse of Ephesians chapter 1, and just talk, we've talked briefly about this, but it says this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And I'm going to stop right there. And the purpose and the word that I want you to think about is source. Where does everything come from? Who is the source of your very breath? Who's the source of your life? Who is the source of your salvation? Source. Okay, you know that answer. Good. So just let's flip through a couple of these slides. The first thing says, this is what man can do. Just want to give you a couple examples of the things man can do. Slide number one, some of you recognize this. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Slide number two, does anybody know what this is? A computer watch of some kind. Is that impressive? Absolutely, that's impressive. Man can do some amazing things. How about this? I don't know if you've seen this, but this is a concept apartment building, I think in Taiwan, that has like 24,000 trees so that they keep the green thing. And so man can do pretty amazing things. And my response was at the end of this, that's impressive. But now let's see what God can do, okay? This is what God can do. He can do this kind of stuff. Maybe we have to turn, Carol, would you turn these front lights down just a little bit? Thank you. So you got a beautiful scenery there, okay? What now? Yeah, how about this? Next. And my favorite's coming up. See, that's what God can do. That's what God can do. And then this last one, kind of man's accomplishments and God's accomplishments all in one picture. You know, the cruelty of man and the great love of God in our salvation. together. So, source. I want you to think about source because that is very, very important. I told my kids yesterday that throughout a lot of my life, I've struggled with this idea of the vertical and the horizontal. The things, we live a lot of our life in this. We live a lot of our life in the horizontal. We live it in the relationships that we have here. We live it in the needs and the concerns and the crises that we have here. We live in the horizontal. We even in recreation and entertainment, we live often in horizontal. And yet God calls us to have what kind of a relationship? A vertical relationship, right? And so we are constantly in the tension of living in a horizontal and yet God calling us to live vertical. And I am often distracted by the things that are horizontal. And somehow, while we live horizontal, we also have to maintain a vertical relationship with Him. We're going to talk a little about that. So now we come to the book of Ephesians. And Paul came to Ephesus, this great city, by the way, of great accomplishment. And there'll be some more pictures here. Paul brought the great light of truth into a deceived world that was living according to Satan's lies. And I believe there's a picture here next. Maybe you've seen this in some archaeological magazines or something. So this is actually considered one of the seven wonders of the world in the ancient world. This is in the city of Ephesus. I really would like for you to get a picture of the city of Ephesus today. Ephesus is not just a little village. Ephesus was a booming city of 250,000 people during Paul's day. All right, it was the crossroads of commerce, being at a harbor where all the people from the Middle East, from Turkey, that area basically, could bring their goods and be sold, and they would go out on ships, and it was a great commerce place, lots and lots of people. By the way, this accomplishment, one of the seven wonders of the world, does anyone know what this was built in honor of? The great goddess Diana, who was the goddess of fertility. This is the huge and beautiful edifice that was built in her honor. And it was in Acts chapter 18 and chapter 19 when Paul came to the city of Ephesus and he came there to proclaim Christ. And there was a spiritual battle that was going on. You guys, there's a spiritual battle that's going on today. People living in the horizontal and completely ignoring the vertical. And so we have this incredible, incredible creation of man that was there. Let's go to the next slide. So here in Acts chapter 19, go down to the second half. It says, "Now, when they heard this, they were full of wrath." Now, well, let's just jump back to the top, give it some context. So not only this trade of ours is in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. So Paul has come in. They've begun preaching Christ. And the guys, the craftsmen that were down in the shops building idols to the goddess Diana, they were afraid that if Juliana got converted to Christ, she'd no longer buy the idols. And if Jay and Lori became Christians, and they said, you know what? If these Christian people continue to share the gospel with the world, our industry will be done. And they were making a big deal about that. The second paragraph. Now, when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, and this was the response of the people. Instead of people crying out for God, they crying out, "Great is the magnificent goddess of Diana," or something like, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater of one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. So the Apostle Paul is going into this big city of commerce. He's bringing the gospel, and the people who are living on a horizontal realm want nothing to do with the gospel. Paul was called to preach to the people of Ephesus. You guys, we are called to preach to the people of California and Sacramento and Somerset. We are called to live here, and there will be this kind of a spiritual battle that's taking place. So what they did was they gathered Gaius and Paul and these others, and they took them into this arena in Ephesus. Now check this out. This is the actual arena today. This arena seats 24,000 people in Ephesus. I just want you to kind of grasp the vastness of this city of Ephesus and what Paul, this is where they took Gaius and Paul and these other guys, Aristarchus, and took them in, and they are shouting and they're angry with Paul and Gaius and Aristarchus and the rest of them. So let's go to the next slide. So into this dark world, God has placed us. Ephesians 1:15, that's where we're going to go for a few minutes, through 23, talk about his power and perspective. You know what, you guys? God wants you to have, seriously, God wants you to have a picture. God wants you to have a motivating force inside you. It's at times, sometimes, like we in the world are butting heads. And we are the world are in contest. But you know what, you guys? There is no contest. God is great. God is magnificent. God is the Savior of the world. And even though man will fight against God, they will not win. But you have to have a picture. You and I have to have a picture of who our God is. And in verse 15 and following, it talks about this. And let's just begin to read this. We have kind of gone back and forth, but I really want us to stand in honor of God's word. Would you stand with me? And I'm going to read these verses. And then, buddy, there's going to be two slides in between that we're going to skip and then go back to the scripture. This is Paul writing, and Paul is writing to the people of Ephesus. Would you take this personally as if Paul was writing to you? If Paul was writing to me? Here's the issue. Are you so convinced that God is right that you are willing to go to the arena for him? That's what Paul is asking us, and he's giving us evidence to be willing to do that. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith, Ephesians, in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And you guys, this next verse is the key to this message. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Let's move. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, so that every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. God, I thank you for your word. Please speak to us by it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So I'm going to have you go back, buddy, two slides. So you're right in the center there. And what Paul says is this. He says, I am so thankful for you. I'm thankful for your faith, and I'm thankful for your love. And you know what? I could say that to you. I am thankful for your faith in Christ and thankful for your love. And Paul says, let's go to the next slide, I think. Go down to the next one. Okay, next one. Okay, just stop there because I don't know what I did. So Paul says to the people in Ephesus, I'm so grateful for you, for your real faith, and I'm thankful for your real love for God. And then if you go back to verse 13 in chapter 1, And does anybody have a big voice, just since I don't have it up on the screen, just read verse 13 for me? Doug, will you do that?
Sure.
Just power out, just like you do. Stand on a stool.
13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so that's it. Paul is referring back to that verse, and he says, you heard. Now, all of you are hearing the gospel. You're hearing it today. You've heard it before. The gospel is God sent his son, Jesus, the Savior, the Christ, God in the flesh, for us. He went to the cross just like we celebrated with communion, so that if you would, so here's what he says. Doug just read, they heard, they believed, and when they believed, they put their faith and trust in God, they were sealed. Bam, sealed. And that's what you are. You put your faith and trust in Christ, you are sealed. And he says, now, people, your faith and your love is so evident, the ripple effect of these people's testimony. By the way, it was not easy to be a Christian in the Ephesus of 1 AD and 50 AD. There was a lot of persecution going on for believers at that time. I thoroughly believe there's a lot of persecution coming for us. Walking with Christ is not for the cowardly in the years ahead. I don't think. You may be put on the spot to proclaim your faith, and somebody say, if you really proclaim this, then you're going to be persecuted in some way. That's coming. So Paul said this. He said, I am praying for you. I am praying that God will give you the spirit of wisdom in revelation through the knowledge of him. Those are the three phrases. I'm just going to, as quickly as I can, try to describe these for you. So he says, I want you to have the spirit of wisdom by revelation through the knowledge of him. Okay? So there's so much in these three phrases that you kind of have to mix together to understand them. In the following verses, he said, I want you to know the hope of your calling. Okay, so what I've done is I've left my notes because we'd be here till 12:15 if I went by my notes. And the cake is where we're headed next. So, but I want you to grasp this. The Apostle Paul says, I want you to have a spirit of wisdom in by revelation. Okay, so here's what happens. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And the Holy Spirit reveals. God reveals himself by the Holy Spirit. God reveals himself by this book, the Word of God. You want to know God? Read this book. You want to know about salvation? Read this book. You want to know about who God is and how you relate to him? Read this book. It is through revelation that you understand the power of God's wisdom. So Paul says, I pray that you have spiritual wisdom by revelation, okay? So the Holy Spirit is going to be revealing to you and reminding you what's in the Bible and what is truth about God. You guys, the world does not know what truth is. You have to know what truth is. And when Paul says, I pray that you would have spiritual wisdom, he's saying, I pray that you will understand the dynamic of what God has done for you. That's what he wants you to understand. So he says that you will have the spirit of wisdom by revelation through the knowledge of him. It's in knowing Christ first, and it's having the knowledge of Christ and the Word of God teaching you that you understand the power and the dynamic of who God is. The question is, what did Paul have to offer the Ephesians? The question is, what do you have to offer your neighbors? If you're just offering them to come sit with us on Sunday and go to church, that's not enough. You need to offer them to know Christ the Savior and to understand this spirit of wisdom that God is Paul is talking about to the Ephesian believers. Now, I don't know if we can find this, buddy, but if you just click with me, down through, we'll go all the way through Ephesus. Here's some stuff about Ephesus. You just keep going. Da, 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 da. I love all these pictures and maps and stuff. Crazy facts, amazing things. Ephesus today. Okay, so let's just kind of stop here. Why did God send Paul to Ephesus? Why did God make you alive today, right now? You know, whether you're at Camp Forward, you're a precision tool, or wherever you are, why did God put us here? Why do we breathe? Okay, the heart of Paul's prayer for the Ephesian believers, let's go to the next slide, that you may know and that your life will be based on and motivated by this truth that God is saying, I want you to know this. Now let's go to the next verse. That God may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. We need God's eyes to see his greatness. Okay, so we're going to keep going. Okay, here, and this is kind of the wrap-up for the sermon. Okay? That you may know the hope of his calling. This is the next verses after verse 15, 16, and 17. Check it out, you guys. What is the hope of God's calling? That you may know the hope of God's. What did God do for you when you accepted Christ? He forgave what? All your sin. When God forgave all your sin, what did he promise would happen to you? Eternal life. The Holy Spirit would come into you and indwell you and teach you all things, that he would give you eternal life. There is the hope of his calling. You guys, in that simple word, hope, the hope of his calling, what you have to offer the people around you in your life is hope like they have never, ever known. This is hope that no one else can be led to except through Christ. That they would be saved, that they would have the Holy Spirit, that they would have heaven ahead of them. And there are many other hopes. I mean, the hope that Jane is living in right now, watching God answer prayer and giving him credit for it. The world would say, yeah, well, that was a lucky break. Right? Wouldn't they? Yeah, it's like we'll build a goddess, a temple to the goddess Diana. You know, we'll just kind of make it a human, fleshly, horizontal thing. And we're going, no, God, you did it. Thank you for saving Chaucer's life. It's appointed under man once to die, and it wasn't her day to die. Praise God. He gives us hope. The riches of the glory of his inheritance. Check that out, you guys. Paul says to the Ephesian believers, I am praying that you'll have the spirit of wisdom revealed to you by the knowledge of him that comes through his word and his Holy Spirit, so that you will understand the riches of the glory of his inheritance. He tells us over and over again, when I die, because I'm in Christ, not because I'm a good guy, not because I do something right, he says, because you've trusted Christ, you now have an inheritance. What is that inheritance all about? I can't even grasp it. We're going to live forever with the Lord. This inheritance is going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord immediately. The Bible says, you know, the heaven is filled with living people. I don't believe in soul sleep. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. Here's why. On Mount Transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah came down to talk with Jesus, how long had they been dead? They were alive and well, and Moses and Elijah are standing there talking to Jesus. Peter, James, and John witnessed that. You think the inheritance? I told my wife, I can't wait to preach a sermon on heaven. All the things that Scripture teaches about heaven. Here it is, you guys. The riches of the glory of his inheritance. What do you have to tell the people who live next door to you about this incredible description of the inheritance that God has given you? The third thing, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us too, who believe. And it says that he described that in the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You guys, the power that God has is so absolutely phenomenal. You know, we can see the power that it took to lift that space shuttle off the ground. And that took a lot of solid rocket fuel to get that thing off the ground. But I'll tell you, you look in the sky and it says God spoke the starry host into existence. And that's just a drop in the bucket of God's amazing, exceeding greatness and power toward us who believe. And by the way, we have also the indwelling Holy Spirit that is in us, helping us to walk with him. He never abandons us. Let's jump to the next slide. There's a couple more of these things. It says, and all these which God did, and he continues to do them, back to the scripture, according to the working of his mighty power, we've kind of touched that, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, that's amazing, then seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, that's amazing, and then the next slide, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Can you just stop for a second with me and look at those verses? What in the world does that say? It says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. All the human realm of power, all the demonic realm of power, all this, all Satan's every deception he can throw your way, far above, far above. God, I need, when it says that you would have the spirit of wisdom by revelation in the knowledge of him, and then it's just being unfolded. All these things are the great things of God. Paul says, you want to have a conscious, present understanding of who God is, what he's done, and what you have to offer to the world? This is the stuff. Far above all principalities. Man, people put so much time and effort into demonic stuff, into witchcraft stuff, into alien stuff, into all these alternative sources. And the Father says, Christ is far above all that stuff. That's amazing. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, he put all things, the Father under the Son, put all things under his feet, all things. And the last part of this says, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. By the way, that's pretty cool. You know what? Here we are, you guys. We're the church. We're the believers in Christ, and we are his body, and Christ is over us, and we are subject to him, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I'm just going to stop there. I am so glad, and I wish I could take more time to describe this, but think about the source of who God is, what he has done, what he's created, what he has given to us in our salvation. Think about what Paul, I mean, why in the world would this guy go and face 250,000 people who all worshiped, at least most of them worshiped the goddess Diana, and go meet with a handful of people and say, we're going to take Ephesus for Christ, you know? And I don't know how many people got saved, but I believe that's our call. We're going to take Somerset for Christ, you know? And I don't know how it's going to happen. Except we're going to pray and we're going to believe these solid things about God so we know what we're talking about and what we're offering to people and what they're going to know in Christ. Mike, would you come and worship team? We're just going to sing a little worship. And I would just like for you to focus on the Lord Jesus. Focus on all that he has done for you. Maybe you have not committed. Maybe you have not heard and believed and been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the sealing is not, it's just something God does. He just seals us. Our job is to hear and believe. Believe the truth of his word and then say, God, I want that. I want that. So these songs are going to be songs that are just reminiscent of our faith and trust in Christ. And Mike, when you're ready, you can start.
Does help if I turn. Ooh, wow, I sound like a woman.
Okay. It does help if I turn on power. Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood to atone me. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He bought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He loved me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. Then somehow Jesus came and brought me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me. When this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars is torn, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, bye bye, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, bye and bye.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Very good. So we're going to celebrate Milton Melinda. Good. Did they already go? That's good. Let's pray and we can greet them. God, thank you for this great hope. Thank you for the truth. Thank you, God, that Paul was willing to go into kind of a lion's den to preach the gospel. And God, sometimes that's what it feels like for us. Give us the courage and give us the foundation to know what we're talking about and what we have to offer, because it is hope eternal. God, we love you. Thank you for letting us hear, helping us believe, and sealing us with your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We're dismissed.